Turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Tonight, a few weeks ago, we preached a message on the fact that not obeying the Bible in the area of separation is more than disobedience. It's more than disobedience. And we talked about the fact that to not obey the Bible in the area of separation is not only disobedience, but it is destructive to yourself, to the work of God, and a multitude of other things. Tonight, I'd like to talk about the heart of separation. What is the heart of the law of separation? As we look in Deuteronomy chapter 22, this is a famous passage of Scripture. And I realize that we are in a day in which the New Old Testament is minimized and its truth is ignored. But this is a tremendous passage of Scripture that reveals the heart of separation. Beginning with verse 9. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. And of course, we know that this passage of Scripture, we'll come back here in a moment, is that very passage of Scripture that the Apostle Paul uses as his authority for separation in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, he says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God." Now let's backtrack for a minute and we'll get back here. How did we get where we're at? How do we get where we're at in the Western world? How does all of a sudden, as Mr. Zuckerman says, there is not just male and female, there's 18 genders. How did that happen? How do we get to this world of absolute confusion? Common sense has been lost. People's thinking had become perverted. How do we get here? As we look at the scripture truth about separation, we find that the heart of the heart of this law of separation is God's plan for the maintenance of distinction. God's maintenance of distinction. God's the necessity of purity. The the significance and importance of absolutes. When the law of separation, the law of distinction, the law of purity, the law of absolute. When that law is violated, society is full of confusion. That's where we're at, aren't we? We are in a day of confusion. And it's not by accident. And you know, I dare say there would be many Christians who would laugh at me preaching on Deuteronomy 22. But this is a vital passage. Now let's look at it for a moment and see the great truths that God is teaching. And you know, God uses laws of the physical world to teach us great spiritual truths. Because you know, the physical world is real. But you know, we don't really think that the spiritual world is real. Somehow, because it's spiritual, because it's so-called invisible, we don't think it's real. God understands that. I feel like that's part of why God has used the physical world to reveal eternal truth about the spiritual world. Okay? So let's look at this passage of Scripture. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seed. Now, the word divers means different kinds. Okay? So, you got some squash seed, and you got some pumpkin seed. And you know what? Let's just say those were the last squash seeds. Let's just say it's butternut squash. It's the last butternut squash seeds in existence. And we have the last pie pumpkin seeds in existence. And we plant them together. Close to each other. So they can cross-pollinate. Guess what? We have now lost forever butternut squash. We have now lost forever pie pumpkins. The seed has been lost. Bible calls, uses this, just think about this. Is there a godly seed? And is there an ungodly seed? Yeah. Does God want the godly seed to remain pure? Yes. 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 He doesn't want it to be watered down. He doesn't want it to be lessened in its spiritual vitality, in its genetics. He wants it pure. He wants the distinctive godly seed to be godly. That's a big lesson. That's a huge lesson. People don't get it. Godly seed, ungodly seed. What is the result? Godly seed. I remember one time I was talking in Sunday school. And we were having a discussion about the family. I said, okay, you have a Christian home and the wife has convictions and the husband doesn't have convictions. What do you have? And a dear, precious lady. Oh, let me explain. Did I say this right? I say things wrong like I did this morning. The husband's a Christian, claims to be a Christian, but doesn't have convictions. The wife is a Christian but has convictions. What do you get in that home? You know what you get? And dear lady spoke out. I asked the question. She says, no convictions. That's what you get. No convictions. And you know how it goes. The wife wants to do right. And the kids go to dad. And they say, he says, F. F. No convictions. There's nothing right anymore. Nothing wrong anymore. Big deal. What do you get? You get a godly seed out of that? Nope. Godly seed's lost, isn't it? Godly seed's lost. As time goes on, they might say, they might say that this ungodly and godly mixed together, well, that's godly. They don't even know what godly is more because the real seed has been lost. Now we understand the supernatural work of God and the work of revival. I'm just telling you the way it naturally is. And so he says, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Yoke. Huh. Well, it's kind of almost like what I just said. Okay. So you got this this ox, huge ox, and this ass joined together, pull the plow. Who's going to be loafing? Right? Who's going to do all the pulling? Well, the ox is going to do all the pulling. And they're not going to build a, you know what? They got a cultivator behind that machine, behind that situation. And guess what? It's going to be an awful lot of corn get dug up. Because it's going to constantly be going crooked. And we could say other things. Unequal yoke. You know, Christians who violate this law, are doing a great disservice to the Lord. You know, you have a saved, godly person in a liberal church. Who's going to do the tithing? The saved person. Who's going to be teaching us Sunday school? Saved person. Who's going to be at church most often? Saved person. You know what? If that saved person would not be unequally yoked with those unbelievers, guess what? That church would die. Praise the Lord. It'd die. But what's it doing? It's mixing the gospel with false gospel. And now what is the truth? Who knows what the truth is? Who knows? You know, you mix our true Christian with new evangelicalism. Guess what? Confusion. Confusion. What's the gospel? What's godly living? What's holy living? You know, it doesn't go to a higher plane, it goes lower, doesn't it? You see, it's all about breaking down distinction. It's all about breaking down absolutes. That's what the devil wants. Now notice those absolutes in 2 Corinthians 6. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? You know what? Those are two absolute opposites. Amen? Those are two absolute opposites. There is no fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness. Of course, remember, I think it was last Sunday morning, we talked about what is fellowship. Fellowship means the word common. And 1 John, the Apostle John said, our fellowship is with God the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we want you to fellowship with us. Fellowship, according to the Bible, is walking on the same ground as a holy God. That is Christian fellowship. Christians walking in unrighteousness, they're walking in the same ground, but that's not fellowship with the holy God. That's fellowship with themselves. There's an absolute. It's right or it's wrong. Guess what? When you violate the law of separation, now what do you have? Confusion. A breaking down of the distinction between right and wrong. Isn't that the day we live in? I don't know what's right. It's just your opinion. There's no right, there's no wrong, whatever. And of course it says, what fellowship hath light with darkness? What communion, excuse me, light with darkness? Yeah. You know, a lot of people think they're walking in the light. But turn on the light. They saw they were walking in darkness, but they didn't know it. See, there's two absolutes that are opposites. And God is saying, don't break down the distinction between these essential absolutes of life. You break down these absolutes into in between, now you have lost that absolute of what is right and what is wrong. And society and life is like a ship without an anchor. It says, what conquered hath Christ with Belial? We'll get back to that one. Is there any conquered with Christ and Belial? Does Jesus Christ get along in any way? Do they have any common ground? The devil and Jesus Christ? None. But you know, in present day Christianity, they do. Did you know that? Yeah. Present day Christianity. Christ and the devil. They mix. It's okay. You say, nah. Wait a minute. Let's go back to the Old Testament. And go to Exodus 32. But I'm going to read you something from Exodus 20 first. This is the second of the big commandments. Verse 4 of Exodus 20. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, etc. Okay, here's God, the God revealed by the Bible. Amen? The God, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The God of the Bible is the God. And so, we get to Exodus 32. Moses is up on the mount. And the people saw that Moses delayed to come down. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him, etc. Verse 4, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, I wonder if there's a little play in words here. These be thy gods. Huh. You know, the plural for God is Elohim. These be thy gods. For Trinitarians, it's God. What's he saying? Here's this thing, absolutely forbidden by the God of heaven. Now, this thing that's absolutely forbidden by the God of heaven, he's God. God? That's God? Now, Brother Henning gave us a little exposition of this at university. It's called Hegelian thinking. It's the thinking of new evangelicalism. Harold Akin Gay has purposely declared the thinking of new evangelicalism as Hegelian thinking. And it is, if I can put it in my own words, it's the ability to mix two opposites. Mix two opposites. Can you mix two opposites? And it become the positive? Can you take a thesis and an antithesis and come up with truth? No. There's two opposites. This is totally forbidden by God. And yet now, it's God. Oh, sounds like today, doesn't it? Totally forbidden by God. But this is God. Now, if you go to 1 Kings 12, we see the same thing. 1 Kings 12. Turn there in your Bible. And 12, the 10 tribes of Israel are now going to follow Rehoboam. I think it scares me, Jeroboam. And Jeroboam says, you know what? We better figure something out here. Because if these people go back to Jerusalem and worship the way they're supposed to at Jerusalem at the temple, they're going to stop following me. So we got to figure out something here. And so we know what happens. He makes a golden calf. Makes two of them. One for Dan, way in the north, and one for Bethel in the south. And he tells the people, I made this god, this idol. And I just want you to know, this idol, that's Jehovah. And now you can worship Jehovah via this golden calf at Dan and at Bethel. And so he says to the people, as he showed them the idols, verse 28, whereupon the king took counsel and made the two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, lie, lie. The God that brought you out of Egypt said, no graven images. None. And you say, the God that brought you up out of Egypt, these graven images represent him. Impossible. And you know what? It's impossible to be anything other than male or female. Do you get it? But just because someone says so doesn't make it so. Amen? These be thy gods. But this is how people think today. The absolutes have been lost. The absolutes that God says must may be left as absolutes. Have been left. The law of separation has been violated. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? None. 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 I remember my friend. Can't remember his name. But we'll just say he's Mr. Chin. Mr. Tan, I think it was. From Malaysia. Singapore. Former worship of Buddha and Buddhism. Worship idols. He got saved. And he heard about a Bible college in America, Trinity Baptist Bible College. He said, he was called to preach. He says, I'm gonna go and get trained to preach God, the Word of God. And so he enrolls over via whatever back in those days. He gets to Jacksonville, Florida. And Pastor Tom Messer's having revival meetings. And he comes to the church service. What? Pastor Messer! I can't come here. This is the same music that I worship idols with in Singapore. I can't worship the God of heaven with the same music I worship idols with. He said, oh, you just need to go to a more conservative school. What was he saying? No right, no wrong. No right, no wrong, no absolutes, just opinion. He himself, a Christian leader, confused. Because you know what? Violating the law of separation is more than the sin of disobedience. God has a heart that is displayed in this great law. Turn back to Deuteronomy 22. Verse 11, thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. You know what? We kind of laugh at that. Wait a minute. Not necessarily so laughable. And we know it can't, because it's absolute truth of God's word. But you know, if you're a man and you're going to buy a suit, I tell you what, you're going to look for a suit that says pure wool. You don't want to wear a sweat box. You know, you're going to go to the store, buy some socks, and you're a hard worker. You know what you're going to look for? 100% cotton. Right? Yeah. 100% cotton. You know, natural fabric, or can't think of the word here, material, God created it. He created linen. He created that which makes linen. He created that which makes wool. He makes that, created that which, cotton. And you know what? I'm not smart enough to tell you all the distinctions, but every one of them is distinct. And every one of them has a special purpose. And every one of them had a distinct purpose that God made them. And you know what? You mix them. Now all of a sudden you lost God's purpose. You put some fabric together that breathes and some that doesn't breathe. Some that retains water and some that doesn't retain water or moisture. And I'm not smart enough to know all this stuff. I try not to do any shopping unless I have to. You know, God has distinct purposes. Now think about it. Our world says, no difference between a man and a woman. Our world says, you know what? The role of a man, the role of a woman, big deal. Nothing to it. That's just fuddy-duddy. And of course, the liberals and new evangelicals, they say, that's all cultural. It's all cultural. It's not absolute truth, even though the Bible says, 1 Timothy 2, Adam was first formed in Eve. And it says, and Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't. He uses two historical facts to prove that those distinctions between the role of a man and woman are not cultural. But they are in the Bible. They're absolutes. And guess what happens? When you mix conflicting purposes, now you've lost the real thing. Don't you? You've lost the real thing. Could I put it this way? You want a mama, but you don't want her to be the mama God wants her to be. You lost something pretty big. How's it going to get replaced? It's not going to get replaced. You see, God is a great God. The laws of God are key to the preservation of human civilization. It almost seems like human civilization is nearing extinction. Doesn't it seem like that? But you know what? God has given us those laws because He wants there to be clear distinction between light and darkness, righteousness and unrighteousness. He wants the absolutes to be maintained because once they're lost, now there's no more absolutes. And society and people, yea, even churches, are a ship without an anchor. And you know what? That's exactly what's happened. This church, let's just say this church throws out dress standards, gender distinction dress standards. They don't know why. It's a Pandora's box. They don't know where it's going to end up because they're violating God's laws. God's heart is distinction, not confusion. God's heart is clarity, not confusion. God's heart is purity, not a mixture. There is a heart behind the law of separation. We're in a day of syncretism, blending two opposites and calling it the rightful worship of God. We're putting idolatry, that which is forbidden specifically by God. We're blending the worship of Satan and worshiping God with it and calling it worship. Creating a new God. Creating a new God. Defining a new God. And no one wants to get a new God who knows what the old one was. We're in a unique day. We are in a day in which we can see in the real world the unbelievably perverse results of breaking down distinction. We didn't get here by accident. And I say, as I've always said, the number one problem are the people of God. Number one problem are the Christians, the churches. They gave up the battle long ago. And it's allowed what's happening. So we think about this as we close. What do you think about the laws of separation? Do you see that they're vital for society? Do you see they're vital for the Christian life? Do you see that they're vital for the church? Do you see that they are vital beyond comprehension? Have long, long, long lasting negative effects They lead a family. They lead people. They lead churches. They lead a civilization down a path that is almost impossible to recover from. Thank God, God is able to do the impossible. Now, purpose of the message is to give clarity to the heart of the doctrine of separation. It's far more than a do or don't. And any do or don't that God says is an absolute wonderful blessing that He gives us in His wisdom and mercy and grace to reveal to us the truth. We need to get back to the doctrine of separation. Churches, families, young people, we need to get back to it. It's essential. And maybe tonight is a good time for you just to, instead of showing that your mind has been muddied by the day in which we live, which would be revealed by, big deal, that somehow the revelation of the Word of God would put some light in your soul and say, you know what? God's Word is right. This is serious. This is serious. And we even have testimony tonight how this can destroy a life. Just little steps in the wrong direction. Let's pray together as we close. Lord, we need a renewal of our spirit of understanding of the law of separation. We need a renewal in our hearts to know that God's Word is absolutely true without any error. The principles and the laws are divine and wonderful. And who are we to minimize them? Who are we to cast them aside? To do so would be but to be foolish and to self-destructive. Now, Lord, there's an important decision to be made about this doctrine, about this law. And, Lord, there can only be definite, specific decisions that will protect a person from being amalgamated into the gray and the darkness of this hour. I pray that you would lead even in the invitation. Well, heads are bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're thinking that, you know what? It'll be fine. It'll be fine. The person I marry doesn't have to have godly convictions. It'll be fine. It'll all work out all right. Maybe you say, you know, doesn't matter if my friend listens to the wrong kind of music. It doesn't matter if my friend enjoys worldly things. Doesn't matter if my friend won't harm me at all. And we could just go on and on. Won't hurt me. It will. It's a real problem today. Say, you know, Pastor, God is speaking to my heart. I've been sucked into this idea that you can mix light and darkness. There's just a lot of different shades of gray. But there's no absolute right and wrong. And in between's not so bad. And you say, you know what? I need to get right with God. I need to get back to a definite right and a definite wrong. I need to get back to the fact there's only one God, and that's the God of the Bible. Not the God of the New Evangelical Movement, not the God of the Christian Rock Movement. There's only one God, the God of the Bible. And there's an important decision you need to make tonight. And you say, tonight, I'm making that decision about separation. Whatever it is. Maybe you're a parent and you've been lax and God's saying, don't be mixing. Don't be making it gray. And you say, Pastor, pray for me tonight. The Lord has spoken to my heart about the law of separation and applying it to my life. Anyone here tonight, wherever you are, just raise your hand. Very important decision. Amen. Anyone else? Okay. Lord, thank you for the truth. And I pray that you'd use it. May our minds have become even more clear now on this important subject. And the decisions that have been made need to be made, Lord. Help them to be decisive. Help them to be decisions of faith. They'll need to be decisions that are going the opposite direction of the hour. It's going to take faith, obedience to your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.